Thank you, choir, for that wonderful meditation on the cross of Christ. And appropriately, we'll be ending with another meditation around a table on Christ's death. Please turn with me as we read Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. You'll find it in your pew Bibles on page 1165, Colossians 1. Page 1165. While you're turning there, I have a friend visiting from the country of Kazakhstan. His name is Fadik. Please repeat after me, Fadik. Yeah, pretty good. and I met him when I was a missionary to Kazakhstan. We lived in two cities. I lived in the small burgeoning capital, Astana, up in southern Siberia, and he lived in the economic powerhouse, the New York City, with the mountains nearby and ski resorts of Almaty. But we became friends while we were both living there, and now we live in separate countries, me in America, and he is a missionary to Turkey. And he will be sharing about his life and his ministry in Istanbul and northern Cyprus on Wednesday during the normal Bible study time. So I encourage you to come. He's traveled many, many miles to speak with us. So please show him your southern hospitality this coming Wednesday. The following Wednesday, we're going to have a kickoff, a welcome for everyone returning in the fall. And we're going to have a meal. So again, come and meet people that you have yet to meet. Meet people old and new to Mount Hermon. And both of these events will end before sunset, so you can easily drive home with the sun. This is the third Sunday of a three-Sunday series on introducing our new vision for Mount Hermon Baptist Church. It is sprout, grow, and bear fruit. The first Sunday, we meditated on the idea of sprouting, where God is sprouting new life in this community. We just need to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. The new life might be someone accepting Christ as their Lord for the very first time. Perhaps the new life is joining a church and making that commitment through the thick and thin that you will be with them and we will be with you. Perhaps it's joining a Bible study or a Sunday school class for the first time, or volunteering and doing something new and stretching your faith and finding new life in it. The second week, we talked about growing and how we are all called to grow as Christians. And this is why it's called a Christian walk or a journey, because the journey, the growing, is emphasized in Scripture far more than any destination, though the destination is involved and inextricably connected to the journey itself. But we follow Christ, and every day we are following and growing in Christ. And this week we will be discussing bearing fruit. And I've asked everyone at Mount Hermon to ask these questions of yourself. How am I sprouting in my life? How am I growing in Christ? How am I bearing fruit? And not just to ask yourself and think about ways that you can do this in your life, but to come together as a Sunday school class and ask these questions, to brainstorm, and to make plans on how you can answer these questions together as a community. And I will be excited to hear what your plans are in your Sunday school classes. One idea is helping with the Durham Rescue Mission, which is just down the road. There's all sorts of things that they can get help with. They're a wonderful ministry that is doing miracles in Durham. And they will be coming to us next Sunday in the form of the Women's Victory Choir, and also Bob Touchton, who is the church liaison and who has worked with us in doing various things at the Durham Rescue Mission. So I'm excited about next Sunday and what that service will hold. Read with me together Colossians 1, starting at verse 1. And listen for the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of God for the people of God. That is a beautiful prayer that Paul prays for the Colossian Christians. And we can continue to pray today. So once upon a time, there was a guy named Jesus. He was walking with his disciples and they came across a fig tree. Figs. Almost as good as ginepas. Those figs. But to Jesus's dismay, there were no figs on the tree. And so he cursed that fig tree. Now, did he curse the tree because God hates figs? No, God doesn't hate figs. No, he cursed the tree because the tree was a symbol and had been a symbol for many centuries of Israel, the people of God, the people that God had called to bear fruit in this world, and they were not doing it. And so Jesus prophesies over the fig tree, which is cursed and withers away and dies. Jesus prophesies saying, you're not going to share in life if you do not bear fruit. And in the same way, he prophesied over Israel at that time. This is what will happen to you if you don't change. Now, it's fine if Jesus talks harshly to Israel, but will he talk harshly like this to us, the church? Well, those of you who have come to hear some fire and brimstone, here it is this morning. Yes, Jesus talks harshly to the church. In Revelation chapter 2, as he speaks to seven local churches in the civilized world at the time, he speaks just as harshly. The very first one, the one in Ephesus, he says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. The seven churches had seven lampstands, not unlike the fig tree for Israel. And Jesus says, if you do not do what you did at first, if you do not repent, then I will take that lampstand away. Or in modern parlance, I'm going to snuff you out. There is one mistake that we can do as Christians in thinking that bearing fruit is something like optional in our lives or a suggestion that Christ gives. Oh, dear Jesus, meek and mild, has no hesitation to remove the lampstand. And he has no hesitation to curse a fig tree that is not producing fruit. Or like we read last month, God, the gardener, he will remove any branch that will not produce fruit and throw it in the fire. Wow. Well, if Jesus does require us all to bear fruit, then Jesus must give us opportunity to bear fruit and ability to bear fruit if Jesus is going to command us to do it. And if that's the case, then we have no excuse, any of us, as Christians, to bear fruit. Never can a Christian say, I'm too old to bear fruit. I'm too young to bear fruit. I have too many chronic disabilities to bear fruit. I don't know enough to bear fruit. Christ calls us all to bear fruit and expects us to bear fruit and gives us opportunity and ability. But that's the exciting part of the whole matter, that Christ will make us able to bear fruit. And that's why Paul can say with confidence that the gospel all around the world is bearing fruit and growing just as it had been in your lives when you first heard of God's grace in all its truth. Yes, indeed, the gospel continues to bear fruit and grow throughout the world. I remember the first time that I understood that verse in all its truth, the first time that I traveled overseas, and I saw in Astana, Kazakhstan, God was there already. I had come ready to bring the gospel, and I discovered that Jesus was already working in Astana, Kazakhstan, that the gospel was bearing fruit and growing there. And the gospel was bearing fruit and growing in cities all around the world. Jesus was there in Astana. Jesus was there in Suzhou, China. Jesus was there in Malaga, Spain. Jesus was there in Istanbul, Turkey. Jesus was there among the Quiché in Guatemala, which some of us will soon discover when we travel there in October. Jesus was there before we ever came, and Jesus continues to be there with the gospel bearing fruit and growing among the people. Jesus was working all around the world and in ways that we couldn't even imagine and still cannot imagine. Jesus, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing all around the world, all at the same time, not just in our town or in our state or in this country, all around the world. And even here in Orange County and Durham County, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. It is not the question, though, this morning that I pose of whether the church universal, the gospel, will bear fruit. Oh, the gospel will bear fruit. It will because Christ has promised and Christ will not disown himself. The question this morning is if we are going to be a part of it or if we are going to be separate from it. The question is whether you are going to be blessed by Christ or cursed. The question is whether you will hear Christ say, well done, good and faithful servant, or do I know you? Do I know you? You never fed me. You never clothed me. You never visited me in prison. You never invited me to live with you. Do I know you? Oh, you came forward one Sunday. Ah, during a service. Okay. Oh, you never missed another worship service after that. Wow, I wish I knew you, but you just don't look familiar. Now, that's some scary stuff for me. That makes me want to get off my colito and do something and to bear fruit. That is scarier than even fire and brimstone for me. To have the one whom I love more than anything in the world not even recognize me. That would be hell for me. Jesus calls us to bear fruit in this world. Well, what in the world does it look like to bear fruit for us? Well, I guess we could go to Galatians 5 and we can read about the fruit of the Spirit, beginning with love and how we are to love. And in the New Testament, this word love emphasizes love for your enemy, love for the one you don't want to love. We can look in Colossians where it calls us to bear fruit in every good work, in every good work. We can give money to those who are in need. We as a church have raised over $900 to help children with cleft lips. And so far we have enough for four operations on four children. Is that correct, Rachel? Yeah. We can support missionaries around the world who are risking their lives or at the least giving up a lot of who they were, moving to a different culture and for the sake of Christ. We can make shoeboxes for children this Christmas. And if you're interested, you can talk to Ann Hoffman. We can support a child, whether really supporting a child by bringing them into your home, or we can adopt a child through various ministries that are out there. Or standing up and being a voice for the voiceless, or giving your voice to the voiceless, or using your power for the powerless, or giving your power to the powerless, or feeding the hungry as the youth did with the Open Table Ministry, or reading to a child at C.C. Spalding Elementary School. If you haven't noticed, I'm giving you Sunday school classes ideas to bear fruit here. Or, of course, we can volunteer at the Durham Rescue Mission. All sorts of ways of bearing fruit. But you got to ask the question, okay, well, these are all great things that we can do. But does anyone need Jesus to do these things, right? I mean, these are things that most anyone can do in the world. What do we say? What do we do as Christians? Do we say that only Christians can bear fruit in the world? Well, it seems like in Scripture, God is constantly commending and praising the other, people who are not part of the people of God, saying, wow, look at what they're doing, the very thing that I've called my people to do. I think of Cornelius, the non-Jew, who would give generously to those in need. And God saw that. And God called it a memorial offering to him. And God, I think, continues to commend the other, the people who are perhaps are not the people of God in a technical way. He praises and commends the Muslim that helps the widow. He praises and commends the Mormon who gives an additional 10% to the poor out of their salary. He commends and praises the one who doesn't even know if there is a God, but visits the poor, the sick, the imprisoned. And I think we should rejoice with God when we see that, because it is a sign of the new kingdom that is coming. And it is what we've been called to do. But we've been called to do something even more. We were made to do something even more. In the words of Jesus, at that night before he is betrayed and arrested, denied, crucified, and buried, he speaks these words to his followers. He says, "You have not chosen me. I have chosen you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, fruit that will last." God has called us not just to bear fruit, but fruit that will last. I don't know if we can even imagine, what does fruit that lasts and endures into the new creation, into eternity, look like? I mean, I got a tomato in my kitchen that is not gonna last much longer. I just picked it yesterday, and I gotta eat it today because it is not going to last. And maybe some of y'all have some fruit that you need to eat before it spoils. Technology has helped a little to, I guess, approximate fruit that lasts by using chemicals and hormones. But even that, you know, the fruit will last a few more days, maybe a week. We can put it in the fridge, but it will not be fruit that lasts. No, Jesus has appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that lasts. Fruit that will be the building blocks of the new creation that God is building today. The building blocks of new creation. The fruit that will last through an apocalypse and become the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Now, how in the world do our good works here today become fruit that lasts through eternity, that becomes incorruptible fruit? Well, it takes a special person to bear fruit that lasts. It takes a person in whom the Father has sprouted new life and has created a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, well, you're a new creation. And not just that, you are part of a new creation. You are a sign that the new creation is here. And new creation begets new creation. And your works can survive anything and become incorruptible, the building blocks of new creation. It takes a person who is growing daily in Jesus Christ, who is daily being transformed into the image of the Son, the firstborn of new creation, where we become more and more the new creation that God has called us to be. And it takes a person who is depending on the Spirit to bear fruit in this world. That same Spirit that was hovering over the waters of chaos in the beginning, where creation was about to break forth. This is the only power in all of creation in the world that can energize us to make fruit, to bear fruit of the new creation. It takes a special person to bear fruit, a fruit that lasts, one who is sprouting new life in the Father, growing in the life of the Son, and bearing fruit by the life of the Spirit. This is the kind of person that God has called us to be. And this is the kind of person that I pray Mount Hermon will make in faithful living into the Great Commission to make disciples. And so we pray the prayer that Paul prayed to the Colossian Christians, and we pray it for one another, and we pray it for others. And by the grace of God, we will be that kind of people. What better way to reaffirm our commitment to Christ, our commitment to others, and our commitment to the Great Commission, than the act of the Lord's Supper. 2,000 years ago, Christ took the fruit of the earth, grain and grapes, and he invited his followers to have a meal with him. The same followers to whom he said that very night, "You haven't chosen me, I have chosen you." This is the fruit that we come to eat with our Lord. And from this table, we can go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Please pray with me. O Lord God, you have chosen us. You've called us to bear fruit in this world, fruit that will last. But we need you, Lord, and so we hold on to the promise that where there are two or three gathered in your name, you are here in the midst of us. You are indeed here in the midst of us, Lord. And as we gather around this table, you are present. And we will dine with our Lord together as a community and bear fruit together as a community. Amen. On that night that Jesus was betrayed, he had a meal with his followers. And during that meal, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given to you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood given for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember the Lord's death until he comes." I encourage you to come forward using the center aisle and receive the bread and the cup. And then as you return, use the outer aisles. If you want to receive the bread and the cup and are unable to come forward, I encourage you to raise your hand and I will come to you. All those who confess Christ, come and dine with our Lord.
broken for you. The body of Christ 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 broken for you. The body of Christ.
Perhaps there's a decision that you want to make this morning. Perhaps it is to begin that new life in Christ, the supernatural, incorruptible life that God has called us all to live. Perhaps it is to make that commitment to join a church. And perhaps it is something else and you like to share with your family here at Mount Hermon. I encourage you to come forward during this last hymn of invitation. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to be faithful in this world. Lord, we cannot do it on our own. We need you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in our lives to direct us, Lord, to direct us to make us new creations, Lord, to grow us in this new creation and to propagate the blessings of new creation in this world. Lord, please do whatever needs to be done in our lives for this, Lord. Break down pride, arrogance, our self-understandings of ourselves that are false, Lord, and build this new creation within us. We pray these things in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.